This is Fresh Air. Imagine the Miss America beauty pageant, but with young men in evening gowns, and you'll get a sense of what the 1967 Miss All-American Camp beauty pageant was like. It was held at New York's Town Hall, where it was judged by luminaries of the art world and underground like Andy Warhol, Terry Southern, and Larry Rivers. The drag pageant was produced by Jack Doroshow, who hosted it in his drag alter ego, Sabrina. Doroshow spent most of the 60s producing regional competitions around the country. The 1967 national pageant was the subject of a documentary called The Queen. After the success of the recent film Paris is Burning about Harlem drag queens, there was a renewed interest in The Queen. This led the executive producer of the documentary, Lewis Allen, to re-release it. Allen has also produced such Broadway hits as Annie and A Few Good Men. We invited Lewis Allen and Jack Doroshow to join us. Jack narrates the film. Here he is describing his drag alter ego, Sabrina, the masterful mistress of ceremonies, and her relationship to the beauty queens of the pageant.
I don't try to compete with them. Look, I'm 24 years old, but in drag I come on like 110, and I do this whole bar mitzvah mother thing, you know, gaudy gowns and pushy, but it's a good relationship with them because they don't fear me as competition. They respect me, and it's commercial.
Would you describe what you'd wear and how you'd make up?
Oh, what I'd wear would be sort of like something, if your listeners know Leonard's of Great Neck.
Leonard's of Great Neck is the place in Long Island where they'd have like 100 bar mitzvahs at one time with a few weddings in there also.
That's the place.
So you came off as if you were what at Leonard's of Great Neck?
Just about anybody there, I guess. Except I was wearing the chandelier as well. No, it's just basic rule was how gaudy can you get?
And why would you promote drag shows instead of competing in them?
You're so kind. Well, I wouldn't say I'm a dog. But I'm kind of a funny-looking guy, and I don't think I'd be too good at that stuff. Mind you, I'll try anything, but I don't think that would have come off so swell. I mean, I like clowning around, and for me, a drag is clowning around. I think it's that simple.
There's a scene in the movie The Queen, in the documentary, of shopping for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you work with the contestants to go shopping, or would they use what they already had? I mean, were they on their own, or did you help them with their look?
Let me put it this way. They were certainly responsible for, bringing their own act. But their work, compassionate, sensitive, understanding, and caring individuals around us that took time to, do what they could. So, it wasn't like a strict rule, nobody's going to help you, because everybody tried to help everybody. It was a nice thing. It was better than kicking the head. People, I think, very nice.
What were the best places in New York for a man who wanted to dress as a woman to go shopping?
Well, today there are specific places for that. But if you're asking about the time when I was doing the contest, that's quite different. In those times, there were a few old drag queens who had gone into the dressmaking business. These would be maybe kids that had retired from the 82 Club or from the Jewel Box Review. Maybe they were dragging one leg or had a bit of a stroke or had a funny finger and just decided not to be a performer anymore. But they could sew a wild dress, you see. And then that would be their trade. Now, today you have regular public venue. There's a guy called, something or other, Mardi Gras Boutique. I can't think what it is. And that place has everything, platform shoes and false boobies and false tushies and... Oh my! I mean, it's just amazing. It's you come right off the street and narrow it all this way. But back at earlier times, it was something you had to know someone that did that, or put it together yourself. I don't think there was a lot of shopping going on in public department stores. unless they were guys who already were able to look like ladies and stuff like that, because I think people frowned on that kind of stuff.
So how did you do the false boobies, as you put it?
In my case, I went to a woman called Madame Bertha, who was a costumer here in New York City. And she did Vegas showgirls and drag queens and all kinds of stuff. And she knew all about that stuff. She understood every single aspect of it, and she'd been at it for a long, long time. And so it was, you know, one-stop shopping for all intent and purpose. There was a guy called Barris that made wigs, and there was Madame Bertha that made dresses, and came as a package deal.
Jack Darashaw is my guest. He produced drag beauty pageants through the 1960s. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Jack Darashaw, producer of the 1967 Miss All-American Camp Beauty Pageant. A documentary about it called The Queen has just been re-released. Also with us is the film's executive producer, Lewis Allen. Now, I know you produced drag shows from New York to the Ozarks. When you'd get to a smaller rural place, a place outside of a center like New York, which has always had a large gay population, was it very different experience?
I remember after we had our most successful contest, which was in Atlanta, Georgia, around 1963, we decided to check out Savannah because we'd heard a lot about it from the kids. And we pulled into town and took a room in a little cheap place. And we were looking out the window. The streets were very, very quiet. It was a lazy afternoon in a sleepy little town. Weren't even any people out wandering around, like walking dogs and things. My God, someone said, I don't think we ought to stay here. But in point of fact, good thing we did. They came hopping over the hills with hoop skirts and sausage curls by the thousands. We had to have a 3-day runoff before we could reduce the number, small enough to be able to do it in a single contest.
You must have been surprised.
Every day is a surprise. I mean, in that case, I was surprised. Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, who would have thunk?
What were your audiences like? Were your audiences mostly comprised of people who were part of the drag scene? Were they straight people, gay people, a mix of everything?
I think it was a very broad mix. Every kind of situation imaginable. There were people from Hollywood who found this to be an amusement. There were people from the local gay scene who found this to be a local event. There were folks that were kind of like following the scene around, checking it out from a sort of sociological standpoint. And there were some fancy people that were slumming. You had a pretty broad combo, but the bulk audience was whatever was interested in the local gay scene until we did the national contest, in which case people would come in from various places. And then that was, if anything, a much greater cross-section.
You know, at the end of the 1967 national pageant, one of the runners-up walked off the stage, you know, being very upset that you know, he didn't win. And then there's a little, dishing contest afterwards in which this bitter runner-up says that Harlow, who actually won, you know, doesn't deserve it, and she won because she's a friend of yours. And were you shocked that happened, or did this thing happen fairly regularly?
Oh, that was just as regular as clockwork.
Really?
Yeah, it goes in a package deal. I don't know. I mean, they never show us backstage at Miss America.
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, because of Lewis Allen's eye in there, we saw the whole picture on that Miss America, but we don't know what goes on the one down Atlantic City. I'd like to check that out. Maybe it's the same. We had it a lot. Yeah, you know, I mean, some guys took it really, really seriously, and I got pissed if they didn't win. And other people, you know, maybe didn't think that was a realistic goal. They weren't going to win anyhow, and other people thought they did have a good chance, but they were gentlemen about it, and they didn't make a big deal. And then some guys get really pissed.
What would you say to the contestants who were bitter and couldn't accept the fact that they didn't win?
I don't know. I'd try to say what my Aunt Sadie would say.
Which was what?
Oh, you know, something like the glass is half full and look on the bright side, Toots, and all that kind of stuff. Oh, and you look great tonight.
Do you watch the Miss America pageant now?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
I never really watched the Miss America contest. I mean, I thought it was I thought it was exploitive. I didn't think the ladies that were doing that really wanted to do that stuff. I felt as if somebody was like, I don't know. I mean, the guys in our contest really wanted to do that. That's what they wanted to do. They were happy as clams to do that. Well, the Miss America contest, I was always kind of suspicious. Maybe those ladies would have rather do something else, you know?
Have you kept up with any of the people who competed in your pageants?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, sure.
What's happened to some of them?
Oh, there's so many stories and different things and all. I mean, some of them have bars and some of them own movie theaters and some of them have had sex changes and gotten married and some of them have gone off to foreign places and gotten different names and become different people. And it's so many things. I mean, one of them is a teacher for a political family, and one of the guys took over his father's bank, and he's a pompous little banker. I don't know, different stuff, you know.
Harlow, who won the Nationals, the pageant that's documented in the movie The Queen, she had a sex change operation afterwards and went from a he to a she. Were you surprised at that? And I wonder what your reaction has been to friends of yours who've had sex change operations.
I was pissed.
Why?
I didn't think it was a good idea. I just thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was a great idea to be able to wash the stuff off, you know. But I thought that was a little more complicated. I don't know. It scared me. I didn't understand it.
So you related to the idea of drag more as theater than as being trapped in the wrong body.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Harry Benjamin came up with that idea about trapped in the wrong body and stuff. And Harry Benjamin, a very, very nice man, very dear man, I think quite well-purposed. But I don't think Dr. Benjamin knew diddly squat about drag queens. Absolutely nothing. I think some guys wanted to have sex changes, so I think that's probably valid. But I'm afraid it had a lot to do with, I don't know, social pressures or peer group pressure or something weird like that. I don't think it had to do with the guys being trapped in anything except their own ideas. But I must tell you that Richie's happy as a clam and looks gorgeous. And
this is Harlow.
This is Harlow. Oh, I mean, gorgeous. So, I don't know, maybe it's cool.
I might interpolate here that Harlow was married for quite a while.
Yeah.
Was a housewife, had a stepchild.
Had a stepdaughter, that's right.
And lived in the suburbs of Philadelphia for quite a while. And I must say, at the opening party the other night, she was sitting next to Mario Buada, who talked to her at great length and was found her charming. He finally said, listen, why were you, this was about a drag contest. Why were you in the picture? What were you doing in the picture? She said, what? He said, what were you doing in that? And she said, but I was a boy then. And he didn't realize she looks like a housewife now, doesn't she? Beautiful housewife.
Yes. Yeah. It's genuinely a different person. I mean, getting a sex change is a full-time job. I mean, getting in drag is, I don't know, it's a lark.
Has the meaning of drag changed for you in the past 25 years? And do drag shows look different to you? Does the whole like drag subculture look different to you now than then?
Well, I mean, it feels different because I'm an Alta Cocker. I mean, everything feels, you know what I'm saying? So,
Explain that for our listeners who don't speak Yiddish.
An Alta Cocker is like an old person, like maybe taking a little water on the port side. You know, you're just slower and I don't know.
Okay.
Just up in years, as my grandmother used to say, up in years. So, you know, the viewpoint's different, sure, you know.
Jack Darashaw produced the 1967 Miss All-American Camp Beauty Pageant. A documentary about it called The Queen has just been re-released by Lewis Allen, the executive producer of the film. Today it completes a two-week run at the Film Forum in New York. It opens in Chicago next week, comes to the Washington Film Festival in D.C. later this month, and is expected to open in other cities soon. This is Fresh Air.